world in his hands. Y'all know that song? He's got the whole world in his hands. We sang so good, I just want to keep on singing. It's like, come on. I'm excited about what God's doing, and I just want to share something with you today. We had an amazing thing happen, and I just want to remind you of something. Do you guys remember this? That's our mission statement. We exist to create opportunities for people to encounter God. When they encounter God, they experience unconditional love, and it releases them. It releases them to live joyful, purposeful lives. It's a very foundation of life, and I'm going to tell you, that's what we do. Like, well, what's that look like? Well, it looks like you. It looks like you at work. It looks like you at home. It looks like you out on the streets. It looks like you in here worshiping. It looks like you giving a word to someone. It looks like you praying for someone. And that's why we exist. And I think sometimes we forget about that. We think that we're here for something else. No, we're here for that. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the good news. And what he was talking about wasn't a theory, a philosophy, an idea. It was encountering God. And you think about it, and why should we live for that? Why should that be the purpose that we live for? It's because, you know why? Because 2,000 years ago, there was a man that was born in Bethlehem, and he changed the world. And he came to defeat darkness. He came to set captives free. He came to heal the brokenhearted, to restore families together. He came to bring freedom to the world. He came to turn the world upside down. He was the one who came to defeat all forms of prejudice and hierarchies and all this stuff that we live by in the world. He was for people. And you know what? He was the kindest, gentlest, most loving man who's ever lived. Have you ever met him? Have you ever encountered him? Every time I encounter Jesus, I'm like, there is nothing in him but life and love, acceptance, forgiveness, freedom. You know, I love that song that we're going to take off our grave clothes, but some of you need to know this, right? I'm going to tell you something real important. It's not okay to run around naked here in church. If you're taking off your grave clothes, bring something, wear something underneath your street clothes, okay? That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about the death that gets on us. Jesus came to set. He never did anything to hurt anybody. And they killed him. The powers that be, the religious powers, the governmental powers, the people in Israel, the Jewish nation wanted him dead. Because he was turning everything upside down, and he brought one thing, and he said, love your neighbor the way you love yourself. No more hate. There's no reason for you to hate anybody. He said, love, 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 love. And you know what? The world, the power in the world turned against him. And, the Jewish nation couldn't kill people right at that time. They were under Roman domination, and Rome was the only one who could sentence someone to death. And so they went to Pilate, and they went to the Roman government and said, we want to kill him. And they examined Jesus. They examined him closely, and they said, we find nothing this man has ever done that deserves torture and death. The Jewish people said, kill him anyway. Kill him anyway. And so, he washed his hands. He said, do what you want to do. I'll release this guy, or I'll release Jesus. And they chose the criminal. And Jesus, they beat him real good before they turned him over to die. They could do that. They did that a lot. Listen, let me see. You guys have never seen me wear a hat, right? This is my hat. A hat. I have several hats. I just don't ever wear them. But, the Roman government would kill you, crucify you at the drop of a hat, right? And they would drop the hat. That was cool, wasn't it? You guys are hard. But I want to tell you something. Today I want to do something because we just had something happen and we were so honored. And I want to ask Pastor Tim to come and talk about it. And we were so honored. We had a funeral for Cody Bolden the other day. And I was blown away. And you need to hear the story behind what happened. So, Pastor Tim, you want to talk to us about that?
Two accomplishes up here to that
the two
promised me. Where'd they go? There's one. Where's the other victim?
Vicki Warren. Let's give her a hand. Come on up, Vicki. And don't tell me. Missy Baker.
Yep, yes. Missy Baker. You're right. Good guess, Alan. Good
it
guess.
It took me a while to get it out
so,
of my head.
So, you know, basically, the funeral was, it all really started with these two. The funeral didn't start with these two, thank God. They didn't kill him. But it started, these two started a small group. And they had it inside their heart to reach a people outside of the church, outside maybe who had never heard the gospel or presented it in a way that maybe grace could do it. And these two did all the hard work. They prepared meals and fed people and over and over and over. I got to just come in and do the good part, and then I could leave, and they did all the cleanup. So I just wanted them to share a little bit first. So.
Yeah, so we saw a lot of really cool stuff happen over those several years. And I guess since, like I said, just it brings back a lot of memories because it's been a few years since we did it. And being at Cody's funeral the other day, we just think about all the fun times that we had. We saw so many miracles, just so much stuff. But I remember the first time that Cody came. He's very, for those of y'all that didn't know him, he'll let you know if it's not okay with him. Like, if something's not right, he's going to call it out. And we used to have, we would, like Tim had said, we would cook him a meal, and then Vicki would do a little teaching or something. But we always, at the end of the night, we always ended it where we would put a chair in the middle of the room. Anybody that wanted prayer, everyone would gather around, and we would pray for them. And so the first time we prayed for Cody, he didn't say a word or anything. But after he left, I heard him say he came back because he said he felt like we were the real deal. In other words, he didn't feel like he needed to call us out on anything. So he kept coming back. And probably the funniest night was whenever he brought his pig. He got a new little baby pig, and he brought it to small group with him because he didn't want to leave her. You know, he had took that little pig everywhere for a while till she grew up. But we just saw so many cool things. Give Vicki some time.
Okay. She mentioned Cody calling us out on things. Well, that tells a little bit about his personality. He was very honest, very open, and there was no hidden things, perceptions, or, you know, people not being real. In fact, he had even told us he had gotten baptized, but apparently hadn't really committed to the first time he got baptized. And the preacher baptized him, and he went under, and he came up. And when he came up, he looked at the preacher, and he said, "You don't know what you're doing, do you?" And the reason he said that is because he said he didn't feel God's presence. He didn't feel real. And so after our home group, Cody did accept Christ in his heart. And he was so passionate about everything, and that I had him as a sixth grader in my PE class.
Wow.
And so I knew his personality is just flamboyant and just, you know, energetic, and he was a wonderful kid. I really enjoyed him because he had so much energy. But as an adult, he was channeling that energy a little bit, but he was very strong and had big muscles. And I mean, before he was saved, if somebody crossed him, boy, he was ready to fight, you know, and stand up for him or whoever was around him or whatever. After he got saved, there's a renewal process in our hearts. But after he got saved, he was still strong, and he was the kind of guy who had a lion's heart. I mean, he had a lion's heart inside of him. And but he became more loving, more giving. And I want to tell you, he would give the shirt off his back to people. There was a guy that I've forgotten all the details, but I do know it was like around Christmas. I think it was Christmas Eve. And the guy didn't have a place to stay, no money. And Cody gave him money out of his pocket, paid for a motel room for 3 days and three nights, and gave him his truck to borrow so that he could go to his family's house and spend Christmas with him. And so that's just the kind of guy he was. You know, he was a very giving person. But whenever he got baptized, he came to our home group, and we were going to baptize him at my house. And so we got the church trough that we do baptisms in, and we brought it to the house. But it was cold outside, and I tried to fill it up with water where the sun would hit it. But the night that he got baptized, when he got in, it was just, oh, this is cold, you know. It was just crazy how cold it was. But he endured it, went under, came up, Tim baptized him, and we came in the house. And he just fell to his knees. This is a man who never cried, and he sobbed. And it was because he just felt that cleansing. He felt a cleansing coming over him. It was the real deal. And so that just shows you his passion. And I'm going to tell you one more thing. I don't want to monopolize the conversation here. Tim gets on to me all the time about that. But... but I had a vision. Is he making motions behind me? I had a vision of Cody and another young lady in our group who had really come a long way. And I saw them. It looked like they were in a, like getting ready to go to battle. There was a long line of people on the front and then multitudes of people behind. But Cody and this young lady was standing on the front lines, and I'm going to say her name, Shauna, in case she's watching, because she's so passionate. And I think it was they were on the front lines, and that just stood out to me, that they were on the front lines, and the wind was blowing in their face, and there were green hills and out like they were getting ready to charge. And I remember them standing with their feet apart, kind of like Wonder Woman or Superman or something, you know, before they started. But I wasn't sure exactly what that meant, other than there was a battle and they were on the front lines, which indicated to me that they were passionate, that they had great zeal and great love for God. I think it was a spiritual battle. And I truly believe that after Cody got saved, he loved God with passion. He loved God with all of his heart, mind, and soul, and strength. He was in process. You know, we renew our minds as we go. We don't know everything, and there were some things he didn't have right as far as, you know, biblical things, but... it's passion, it's heart, it's love for God. That's what counts, that's what matters, and he had it.
That's right.
And he made an impression on so many people after he became saved. I don't know if they knew that's why, but he would stop and help people all the time, and he couldn't hold back. I'd see him at Walmart, and he'd say, let me tell you what happened. Jesus did this, Jesus did that, and, you know, so it was just exciting to see Cody and his transformation and his spirit, and he is an inspiration to me to have that zeal, to have that passion for God. So
yeah, come on.
Amen. See, we said that Vicki will preach at the drop of the hat, and she'll drop the hat for you, too. Just kidding. These two really made a difference in people's lives.
Yeah.
Cody was. He was close to me. I loved to see the change inside of his life. There were so many funny stories. Shauna was probably the first miracle. She had an abscess tooth, and we gathered people around her, and... said lay hands on her, and one of the guys, you know, part of the group, just he's let it out. He said, "I just pray for her dirty, dirty heart." We're like, "What? You don't pray?" And then her tooth went down, like that. We're like, and it changed me because I realized that God wasn't the God that I thought He was. That He could only move in people like me, or move in people who loved Him, or move in people who did the right things, or moved in people. And I watched these guys and girls God move throughout them for the years that we had that small group and how they changed people's lives. And even though it was a different experience than I experienced, it was totally different the way I experienced God and the way I connected with Him. But those guys connected with God and they told each other about it. And they, when I showed up for at the family's house after the funeral, so many of his friends, when they would walk in, they said, "We know you're Preacher Tim." We said, "We just know because Cody always talked about you and the things that were happening at your guys' church." And so we changed people, and we continue to do it. And so my whole heart is that we would maybe have the eyes of Jesus and look beyond what we really know or what we really think we know. Maybe even look beyond our own theology and say, "Hey, listen, maybe the God of the universe is bigger than I can imagine in my own heart or my own head, and I'm just going to love people." So yeah. We did. Jessica, I love Jessica because she just continued. She'd just bring people over people over people over people, and they would go inside the door, and she's like, "Hey, pray for them. Tell them about them. Tell them about them before they knew about them." And so we would prophesy or pray over them, and then they would be just totally amazed that we could hear what God said about them, how much He loves. So, it's a big deal to connect with God and connect with those around. So.
Okay, come on. Thank you, Tim. So what happened there was Missy and Vicky laid their lives down and created opportunities for Cody and his friends and those other guys to encounter God. You see, that's what changed Cody's life. At the funeral, I was amazed. What great testimony. Some of you guys are watching online. How Cody, you saw his life change. It was unbelievable. Huge. And I'm like, what happened to him? Guess what? You see, our world, we needed to encounter Jesus here, right? You know that what the Bible says, you look at the world, and the world needed to encounter Jesus. And Jesus, God Himself, came to earth as a man, and we encountered Him. And when we did that, the whole world was set free from captivity to darkness. And it was an evil darkness. It was a self-seeking, destructive, horrible darkness was ruling the planet Earth. And Jesus came and He said, "This guy is no longer the God of this world. I have defeated him and I've defeated death and I've set the captives free. Now come to me." So why do we do this? We have a video I want y'all to see. The children's ministry put on an event last night, Parents Night Out. And it was a way they did it because they want children to encounter Jesus. Not just hear about Him, not read about Him, not some kind of cultural change. The only change that really happens is when you encounter the living God. You encounter Him. Wow. Y'all don't realize it. 3 hours. I was so happy to be there. My feet still hurt this morning. I'm limping a little bit. You know, it was like, but those children got to encounter Jesus. And their parents got to have a night off, and they got to encounter Jesus. Do you remember that's why we're here? Is to create opportunities for people to encounter Jesus. We do worship to worship Him and to provide a place for people to encounter Him. And that's why we exist. And don't forget that. You know, it was crazy when Missy and Vicky said they wanted to do this small group. And you know what they did? Vicky opened her home every week and they fed them. All of them, no matter how many came. Week after week after week after week. I don't know how many. Was it 2 years? I don't even remember. It was a long time. You see, what you do creates opportunities for other people to encounter God. And when they encounter Him, when I encounter Him, He changes me. You'll never live life to the fullest unless you have encounters with Him. And that's all we're wanting to talk about today. I have a lot of scriptures I want to go over. But the bottom line is this. Encountering God changes your life. Amen. Well, wait, what about encountering Jesus changes your life? And he's still alive today. You can encounter him this morning. You can encounter him. Apostle Paul, he loved to have hardships. It's crazy when you read about his life. He loved it because he said, you know what? In my weakness, I experienced his explosive power. In my shame, I experienced his love. In my physical pain, I experienced his healing. And it was greater. And so Paul could stand up and say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And you forget that it's because of Christ that he could do that. And the same Jesus Paul encountered every day, you and I can encounter every day. But you know what? You've got to go out there. If you're going to encounter him, you have to go. You have to take a chance. You have to reach out to the hurting. You have to serve. You've got to give. Because it's at that point, when you do that, he comes. And then you'll be able to say, like I can say it honestly, I've said it 1,000 times to some of those hurting people in the world who are been so hurt and so wounded a lot of times by religion that they're like scared to encounter Jesus. Literally, they know God as the hammer, as the guilt inducer, and that's who they know God as. And I want them to meet him because he heals. And they don't want to meet him. And I look him in the eye and I tell him, Jesus is the kindest, most gentle person I've ever met. In my worst day, he's been nothing but loving to me. And you can trust him to love you. This morning, God wants to love you. Some of you need to experience it online, at home. What changed Cody was encountering Jesus, not the wisdom of what he was taught, not even the kindness. He just encountered Jesus through Missy and Vicky and Pastor Tim. They opened their hearts. They served. They gave. And they came and they encountered Jesus. Guys, you can encounter Jesus today. And maybe you need to. You see, he looks for hurting. He goes after the broken. He wants to transform us. So you're a perfect candidate if you've got pain, if you have sorrow, if you have bondage, if you have a broken mind, a broken heart, broken relationships. Jesus is waiting to come encounter you. Now, you know what? Some of the rest of us, we need to go create opportunities for people to encounter him. Well, Alan, you love working with children. What? I'm clueless. I don't know what to do. But I loved creating opportunities for kids to encounter Jesus last night. Loved it. I told somebody, I've been doing it 45 years and it hasn't gotten old yet. Everybody else is wanting to retire and go into mothballs. What? I had fun last night and I was exhausted and grumpy when it was over. And I may or not have snatched a kid or two. Maybe. But I want to tell you, it's worth everything because when I gave all of my energy out, I got to experience his energy. And I can stand up and say like Paul. I can't say it like Paul, but I feel like I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Age does not affect my life. He does. So guys, maybe some of you need to give. You need to step out there and give and serve and create opportunities for people to encounter him because that's what will change their life. And if you don't step out there, they won't have it. Paul gave and gave and gave and gave and gave, and he wrote half the New Testament, and he changed the world. He's inviting you to that same life, and it's good. Nothing in this world can compare with that. Now, this morning, he also wants to come and encounter you here. And many of you have already had encounters. Some of you already, God gave you a new mind. Yours was broken. He fixed it today. God set you free from captivity because you were in bondage. Those chains are real. I should ask you to stand up and shout out what your chain was, but that would embarrass most of us, right? But he sets you free. When you encounter him, he unlocks the chains. So that's all that is. I just wanted to honor what Vicky and Missy did, what Pastor Tim did with having that small group, that Cody got to encounter Jesus. He knew about Jesus. He encountered him at that small group. And his family The people who knew him the best said his life was changed. He was a different man from that day until the day he died in that accident. God wants to change your life. Today would be a good day. God wants you to sign up for this vision. You mean that's why I exist? Mm-hmm. You'll be happy. You'll have purpose. You'll have meaning. And at the end of your life, you can look back and see a train of changed lives. Maybe a whole state changed because of you. That's what we exist for. And it's the best thing that'll ever happen to you. Serve and serve and serve and serve and serve and give and serve. And you'll never, ever run out, ever. So I just encourage you. We exist for this reason. And I think next Sunday I'll probably preach the message I didn't preach today. It's really, really good. It's about the Apostle Paul. I've got 146 scripture passages. It's wonderful. I love it. I really do. But all that really matters is, are you going to encounter Jesus today? That's all that matters. I mean, let's all stand up. Come on up, Stephanie. Tim was pretending to be Stephanie on the keyboard earlier. Thank you for not turning on the sound. Appreciate that. Y'all think that I control the service? Sound booth controls the service. Trust me. I love my next slide. There was my next slide. You guys will see it next week. That's the devil. He had the whole world in his hands until Jesus laid his life down for us. We're going to talk about that next week. Amen. Well, real quick. Tell me in my ear. What are you going to say? Oh, I have. Yeah, that's how we do it. Come on up here. No.
And with your help and with your existence, you taught me about seed digging. You taught me about, like, just replacing lies with truth.
Yeah.
A chain of anxiety fell off today. Oh, a good. Chain of fear and abandonment fell off today.
Wow. Come on.
And I experienced him. Thank you.
Thanks, Eric.
Thank you.
Come here. Come here.
Thank you.
And I'll be calling Celia in a few weeks to see if it's stuck. Hey, it's okay. God's not ashamed or embarrassed at us walking it out, right? It's a good word. Okay, so we have teams up here that want to pray with you this morning. You need a partner. You're getting one. Yay, Vicky, you're a good woman. I don't care what they say about you. We want to pray with you. We want to pray with you, okay? So, Father, I just thank you for today. I thank you for every testimony. God, I thank you for what Eric said. I thank you for all of us that are believe. God, we believe that there's nothing Jesus can't do. And we want to be way makers, God. We want to be the ones who stand up and say, Jesus is still King. He's still Lord. He's still life. We just thank you for that, King. And take us this week, Lord, and use us to create opportunities for others to encounter Jesus. Each one of us this week, Lord, use us. Use us, God. Amen. God bless you guys. Thank you for being here. Don't forget your children.